Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Going to be cloudy and breezy. Chance for some snow showers after what we had overnight. And we'll have a high of about 35 degrees. Kenosha right now, 34. Still a little bit of light snow in the area. Light snow in Burlington, 32. Milwaukee, also light snow. In Racine, unknown precipitation, it says, and we have 32 degrees. Racine Mayor John Dickert, in comments similar to those he has made in the past, says the focus of the Racine Police Department is to find and arrest those who break the law, and the city will not actively pursue undocumented immigrants. President Trump, of course, recently signing that executive order promising to withhold federal funding from so-called sanctuary cities, which protect undocumented immigrants. The mayor noting it is not against the law to be an undocumented immigrant, but that doesn't mean those who break the law are going to go free.
The problem is that what the president seems to be pushing for is going after or trying to find out information regarding undocumented, as well as challenging cities who are sanctuary cities of their funding.
He notes that mayors around the country have been researching issues related to immigration for some time, and they have legal opinions that the president's executive order is illegal. Within minutes of the release of the mayor's statements, his office began getting emails from all across the area denouncing his stance, says installing hatred and bigotry in this country is something we don't need. Mayor Dickert adding that the nation's mayors who met in Washington just days before the president's inauguration are going to be keeping a close eye on what is going on in the nation's capital. As the spring semester got underway at UW Parkside, Chancellor Debbie Ford issued a statement that says the celebration of the new term has been overshadowed by the controversy surrounding the president's executive order and the ban of entry into the U.S. from seven predominantly Muslim countries. Dr. Ford in her message says all students, faculty, and staff scheduled to arrive from international locations are on campus, and officials will continue to closely monitor federal policy as it relates to any future international travel by members of the learning community. According to Parkside's Office for International Student Services, none of their students are from any of the seven countries in the executive order. Members of Wisconsin's Jewish community, joining other groups like Voces de la Frontera, and just individuals outraged by the president's order, and they gathered in protest by Congressman Paul Ryan's downtown Racine office. A letter was delivered calling on him to publicly rescind support for that executive order, which read in part, "It is immoral and disgraceful to turn away people who are fleeing persecution and war in their home countries. As Jews, we are keenly aware that multitudes of European Jews were turned away from our country and other nations around the world during World War II.
It is appalling that refugees fleeing the consequences of U.S. military actions are now being banned from seeking shelter on our shores. Further, many among the refugees now excluded from our country are those who aided U.S. forces on the ground as translators and interlocutors. President Trump's executive order targeting our Muslim sisters and brothers is, quite simply, un-American, betraying the rights that are carved into the Statue of Liberty that has greeted generations of immigrants who literally built our nation."
That's Jewish Voice for Peace Chicago Rabbi Brant Rosen reading from the letter for reporters, said this order only further serves the cause of Muslim extremist groups. Rabbi Sarah Bluff suggested that the crowds could grow each week. Congressman Ryan supports the immigration order. She says she was allowed to herself to bring in that letter into the congressman's office. She was the only person allowed in, one per person, and read it to the staff. Noted this is a country of immigrants, and she says everybody is affected by this.
What does it mean if we don't let people in? These are not people who decide over a lovely breakfast in their breakfast nook that it would be a good idea to flee. You put your kid in a leaky boat if the land is unsafe. How can we not be involved?
The crowd chanted, "This is what democracy looks like, and immigrants are welcome here." They carried signs that included, "No time for indifference. We all belong here, and stop scapegoating immigrants." A neighboring jeweler who asked that his entranceway to the business not be blocked eventually pulled the security gates closed. About 70 people representing a number of local groups, along with several homeowners who live along the Root River above Racine's Horlick Dam, went to that informational meeting at Ives Grove last night about the future of the complex, and the DNR, of course, ordering Racine County, which owns the dam, to make modifications so it can handle flooding for the so-called 100-year storm. There was a presentation on five options currently being discussed, but issues were raised by the audience, including loss of recreational opportunities above the dam, water quality changes, and sediment built up behind the structure. State Senator Van Wongard was there, said he was pleased the county had brought this to the stakeholders early in the process before making a very important decision.
This is about issues with our quality of life, with people that live along the river, fishing, and our habitat for fishing. And I surely don't want to see us lose any potential for economic growth or economic development along the river.
Options being discussed range from lowering the spillway 3 feet to completely removing the dam. More than once it was stressed to the crowd, this process is just beginning and more informational meetings will be held. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee meeting at 5:30, room 303 at City Hall. It begins the agenda with a little garbage issue. Purchasing agent Kathy Casper to report on the bids for 14 dual refuse cart tipper systems for the solid waste trucks, part of the process for eventually implementing the new cart collection system this summer. Recommended for the contract, Bruce Municipal at just under $90,000. And there's the matter of an electrical system upgrade for the Main Street Bridge and prep work that'll cost about $130,000, reimbursable by the state. The original control devices, they need to be updated. The actual work is estimated at $470,000. An attorney for 16-year-old Racine resident Keller McQuay, charged as an adult in the September 2015 fatal shooting of his teenage girlfriend, wants to argue there's evidence someone other than his client was at fault. It's now set for March 20th, that motion hearing, ahead of the scheduled trial May the 1st. McQuay accused of shooting 14-year-old Vista Jackson inside his mother's home on Albert Street with a .22-caliber sawed-off rifle. Court records indicate a delay in the proceedings due to a backlog at the state crime lab and testing on a piece of evidence. That has been completed. That allows the case to proceed. In Kenosha Circuit Court, a 28-year-old man, Jason Johnson, charged with recklessly endangering safety, hit-and-run causing injury, and disorderly conduct, all reference to an early Sunday morning incident in the 1600 block of Birch Road after a verbal altercation. Johnson, along with his 29-year-old cousin, Alan Coos of Sturtevant, allegedly tried to forcefully enter an apartment containing a former girlfriend. That led to an outside confrontation that police say included a baseball bat and a tire jack. Johnson then accused of driving his cousin's SUV over a curb and directly at the former girlfriend, but instead hit a woman with her instead. She suffered relatively minor injuries. Coos also facing possible charges, disorderly conduct, party to reckless endangerment of safety. There could be sexual assault victims in Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee counties whose rape kits have still not been tested. Based on a report by the USA Today Network, it says most of the 6,000 kits identified in a backlog have still not been tested, more than a year after Wisconsin got $4 million in grants to clear them up. Meanwhile, State Attorney General Brad Schimmel says those victims can go online to buyyoursidewi.org to check on the status of their case.
We will help them locate their kit and review their options for DNA testing. And it will always be their decision about what happens next with the evidence that was collected from them.
Schimmel adding that the last thing we want to do is further disempower a survivor of sexual assault by giving them no choice as to what happens with the evidence. Coming up later this morning, Cornell University is hosting a little ceremony in which Racine's S.C. Johnson chairman and CEO will be commenting on the combined donation of $150 million from himself and the company to support the newly named Cornell S.C. Johnson College of Business. Part of that donation, a $50 million challenge grant to help build the facility's endowment by another $150 million. Cornell University, with a long history with the Johnson family going back to the late 19th century, and where previous donations have been made, the last 1984, naming gift for the Johnson Graduate School of Management, which has resulted in $100 million to date. Every year, the nonprofit agencies in this region that teach literacy skills begin the new year with a search for volunteers trying to help teach English. For the Kenosha Literacy Council, the vast majority of its students are learning English as a second language. Cheryl Hernandez says that does not mean, though, that volunteers need to know the students' home languages.
So I think a lot of people assume, oh, if I'm going to teach English, I must have to speak another language. You don't have to speak another language. We actually prefer it when the tutors don't, because the students have more opportunity to practice right. Their English that way. You don't have to be a teacher. We have many fabulous tutors who have no experience teaching, and we work to give them the skills that they need to be successful in that tutoring situation.
Some 215 volunteers stepping forward last year to help train almost 600 students. The tutor training process involves a 14-hour mix of online and in-person sessions. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. At WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.